The Business on RT Radio 1 with Ulster Bank. For when you're keen to know what Brexit means for your business, visit ulsterbank.ie/Brexit.
The tragic news of the deaths of 39 people in Essex this week is front and centre of the newspapers this morning, and new evidence suggests that many or maybe even all of those who died were Vietnamese. A family member of one of the victims said that his sister paid £30,000 to people smugglers and that when he last heard from her she was in Belgium. But who is this money being paid to in this growing business of profiting from this sort of criminal and predatory industry? I'm joined now by Lucia Bird, senior analyst at the Global Initiative Against Transnational Organized Crime. Lucia, a lot of the words used around what happened to these people, sometimes it's referred to or has been referred to in recent days as trafficking, sometimes as people smuggling. What is the difference?
Well, the two phenomena are different crimes under international law, but they are consistently elided in political and public discourse, as we've seen in the last few days. So in the context of people smuggling, the movement is with the consent of the person, although, of course, they may then be subjected to abuse that they did not consent to. The movement has to be across national boundaries, and the intent of the perpetrator is material or financial gain. For trafficking networks, there is no consent of the person being moved. All their consent is rendered irrelevant due to deception or coercion. There's no need for the movement to be cross-border. A lot of trafficking networks operate domestically, and the intent of the perpetrator is exploitation, often through forced labour or sexual exploitation. And it's really important to distinguish between the two, although sometimes, of course, the phenomena can, you know, merge characteristics, because the two need very different policy responses. And when smugglers are labelled traffickers, the agency of the person on the move is completely removed, and it ignores the role of state policy in closing down legal routes for migration.
So in other words, smuggling, where people are paying in order to get into another country for a better life or whatever it is, or an opportunity, that ultimately feeds into migration policies in countries and how difficult it is and what the numbers allowable are and what the circumstances are. But trafficking is really all about organised crime of the worst kind. Who are the gangs involved, let's say, for example, in this kind of trafficking? Do they tend to be dedicated to that, or are they people involved in drugs, in other criminal activity, and this is just part of what they do?
Well, we do see that organised crime networks tend to diversify into whatever form of organised crime is most lucrative at that point. Now, people trafficking has been a very profitable industry for a very long time, so we do often see quite highly organised criminal networks that control these routes. Sometimes there is overlap with other illicit substances such as drugs. Other times it really is the central focus. And as you kind of identified with smuggling, this is slightly different, and particularly in contexts where the migration environment is less securitized, so the borders are more easy to cross, the profits tend to be lower, and so smuggling is often a side stream to other licit or illicit businesses.
In trafficking, Lucia, how many people globally are believed to be involved in or caught up in forced labor?
I mean, the figures are huge. Of course, estimates are very difficult because it's an illicit industry. However, it is believed that over 40 million people are in context of modern slavery worldwide, and over 25 million of those are in context of forced labour.
What about the private sector in all of that? Increasingly, companies will outsource the hiring of individuals, they'll use recruitment companies, etc. And in a way, they might feel that if anything goes wrong or if anything untoward has taken place around forced labour, that, well, it isn't up to us, it isn't our responsibility. We hired this company, it's their responsibility.
Yes, and you've highlighted a huge risk because a very large proportion of those in forced labour are in the private sector. So it's estimated at least 16 million. And as supply chains have become increasingly global and often fragmented, you're right that recruitment is often outsourced. And there are some ethical recruitment companies out there that focus on ensuring that the risks of human trafficking are mitigated. Now, we have seen some positive steps in this regard because the role of the private sector in monitoring their own supply chains is increasingly recognised. So, for example, in the UK, with the 2015 Modern Slavery Act, that imposed for the first time a legal requirement on companies to be monitoring their own supply chains and mitigating the risk of human trafficking. And a huge element of that is due diligence, both at the recruitment stage and then ongoing throughout the employment.
And Lucia, when it comes to smuggling as opposed to trafficking, is there any indication as to how much money is being made from that?
Again, it's very difficult to quantify. It's believed to be one of the fastest growing criminal markets. And some estimates suggest that it could be as much as a $10 billion US dollar market.
And in relation to the events of the last few days, there's more evidence coming out that these individuals may have been from Vietnam. Is that surprising to you when you look at those international smuggling routes around the world? Does Vietnam crop up a lot?
Unfortunately, it's not surprising. Vietnam does crop up a lot. There are very well-established routes. And also, some reports suggest that some of these victims at least travelled through China. So the routes from China, again, are very well-established and long-existing. And actually, if we then look at what happens within the UK, some of those smuggled will then find themselves in very vulnerable contexts and may then find themselves exploited in contexts of trafficking. And actually, in the UK's national referral mechanism, which is a mechanism that law enforcement and NGOs use to report victims and suspected victims of trafficking, Vietnamese foreign nationals are the second largest group of foreign nationals reported and have consistently been so for the last few years.
Lucia Bird, Senior Analyst at the Global Initiative Against Transnational Organised Crime. Thank you very much for joining us on the programme.